everyone, and welcome to Disney Magic Hour, episode number 170. We are here. We are in the summer. We are here for Spider-Man Far From Home review. Joining me this week, I have Pete with me. Hello, Pete.
Hello, everyone.
And I have Adam joining me. How are you?
Oh, ahoy, ahoy.
And we have a returning guest that we haven't heard from him in a while, Mr. Jimmy Styles. How are you, Jimmy?
Hey, howdy, hey. It's been a while, guys.
It has. How's everybody doing?
Good. Doing great.
Good, good. So we're going to get into, this isn't the first summer blockbuster, but it's like after the official start of summer. It's our first big summer movie, quote unquote. And we're going to all talk about Spider-Man. But before we do that, I have to remind you that we are lastjedpodcast.com. You can find us on the Twitters at Diz Magic Hour Pod. That's D-I-S Magic Hour Pod. We are on Facebook. You can find us all there having our conversations. If you're not there, come join us. Come join us and add your friends. You can also find us on Instagram at Disney Magic Hour Podcast. And you will always find our sponsor, MEI-Travel.com, popping up in the group. Becky and her team will share all of their travel tips for you, and they'll help you if you want to come join us down in Walt Disney World, if you want to head out to Disneyland, maybe see some Batu a little bit, or take a cruise like we'll be doing in a few months. Definitely head over to MEI-Travel, and Becky and her team will help you get started there. All right. Let's talk. We have a couple of news items to hit before we dive into Spider-Man. We got a bit of casting news this week for our live-action Little Mermaid.
Let's not kill the lead.
Is that the lead?
My goodness. It is now, yeah. All right, so
that was the
big news of the week came in the form of a mermaid. So as we all know, there are live-action films being made by Disney, and one of the upcoming ones is The Little Mermaid. And Haley Bailey, not Halle Berry, as many...
White. I think I've said that about eight times.
A white person thing to make him a constant mistake on, to the point that Halle Berry actually had to go on Twitter and say, not me, guys, her, the younger actress who
the
would actually be casted for this role. So it's pretty great. Good support on that one. Haley Bailey is known from Grown-ish, which is a TV, I believe, on Freeform and all that kind of stuff for ABC, has been cast in the lead. And for the live-action remake, I'm not sure what the words we're using anymore to describe these are. It was previously reported by Variety that also Melissa McCarthy is in the running for Ursula, despite not having tentacles or purple skin. Keep that in mind as this goes forward. And while, actually, just on that note, while McCarthy kind of may seem to you like a boring pick, go out and check out Can You Forgive Me? She's usually in just the comedies that asks her to kind of be foolish and whatnot. She's a really, really good actress. She hasn't been given the roles to show that range. She was nominated for Best Actress. I kind of thought she should win. But whatever. I want Idris Elba in the role of Ursula.
He's King Triton, please.
More than likely, actually, it probably should be. This is all going to be under the direction of Robert Marshall, who recently shot Mary Poppins Returns. And if anything actually is uninteresting from this, beyond the original film it's being redone, it's actually him at the helm. He kind of makes a lot of, in quotes, fine films. I think Chicago is a home run. I absolutely love that movie. But Memoirs of a Geisha is kind of like forgettable. Pirates on the Caribbean on Stranger Tides for me is, it's straight up, it's a fever dream that I don't remember anything. I couldn't tell you one thing that happens in that movie other than
which
McShane
number is that?
I was going to say, which number is that?
Good question. I think it's the fourth.
It's a fourth with the mermaids.
I don't
fourth
think I ever saw
with
that.
Mermaids.
Oh,
that's right.
Okay. So you got picked for the mermaids.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, let me just finish up this little thing. Nine also was bad, and that's with Daniel Day-Lewis. He actually made a bad Daniel Day-Lewis film. Into the Woods is just kind of fine. And while I enjoyed Mary Poppins Returns very much, it's just kind of a remake with different songs. The further you get away from that, I mean, we kind of came to that conclusion directly after, but I still enjoy it. But that's sort of what that movie is. So what's this live action going to be? Is it just The Little Mermaid with a couple of additional songs? Is it going to give us anything different? I really hope it does, but I don't hold out much hope for that. And we'll get to the flip side of that coin a little bit later. Obviously, we're not going to really get in. I don't think we should really get into this because it's going to be is me calling people stupid.
Yeah, no. Before we do that, I did want to mention we had also heard a while back, but it was a while ago, so I wanted to reemphasize here. We are going to be getting new music. Alan Menken is coming back, but we have Lin-Manuel Miranda who's working on the lyrics.
Yeah.
So we have a lyricist and the musical writer on this one. I think that's kind of interesting that he's back. And I also did want to mention because I've never watched any of the TV that Haley has been on, but I've listened to Chloe and Haley the music, and I actually really like them a lot. And they also performed the song Warrior from A Wrinkle in Time, which I think is quite a good song. So as far as her singing goes, I think I'm really interested to see how she'll do with this and how they'll do the music for her in this one.
And just to round out the other cast that's so far going to be in the movie is Jacob Tremblay is going to be Flounder. You might recognize him as he was the young boy Jack in the movie Room with Brie Larson, where she won her Oscar. He was also in The Predator, which every time I read anything about that, I haven't seen it. But just reading that there's a young boy in that movie, I have to watch this thing.
That kid actually legit killed people in the movie. So.
Oh, that movie sounds great. Why doesn't
just
everyone
sold
love
Pete
it?
On that.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. And then in as Scuttle, right? Yeah, Scuttle is Awkwafina from Crazy Rich Asians. That's a really cool little toss-up because
she's fun.
She's funny, and I think Scuttle sucks. So at least maybe she'll make it something that I care about. We're not going to get into this.
No.
I'm telling you right now, we're not. I'm just going to say one thing. Guys, a lot of the fairy tales that you think like are only built from white America, they're not. There are black people that are Danish. There always have been. Stop. Relax. No one's taking away your cartoons. Grow up. You can have a child at heart, but don't have a child's mind.
Also,
moving on to the next. No,
I just want to
really
say one thing. Just if you seek out Neil Gaiman on Twitter, he retweeted a really good thread about like folklore and legends and like the history of them. And like, hey, you know,
let me give you a highlight. Cinderella, not white. Originally comes from a Chinese fable.
Yeah.
So if you're so worried about it, then you should hate the balls out of Cinderella. All right, moving on. Speaking of things that are, I don't know.
In China?
Things are in China.
Yeah, let's move to that one.
The Mulan live action trailer hit, and as the kids say, it slaps.
It dropped out of nowhere. I was watching the World Cup, and all of a sudden I hear, "I'll bring honor to us all." And I was like, wait, what's going on?
Well, they did tweet out, I believe, one of the actors who's playing Ping, right? I think it was him.
Somebody did a little bit of a forewarning tweet or something.
Yeah, they actually kind of leaked, which I'm sure he had permission to, or they would have murdered him by now. one of the actors actually put it out, and then CNN or CNBC also tweeted out that it's going to play during the halftime of the women's thing. So during the halftime of the women's USA soccer team, while they were busy winning their fourth FIFA Cup and Megan Rapinoe was cementing herself as an American sports icon, Disney on the Fox network, which this is something kind of to see because this isn't the way it would have gone a number of months ago.
No.
But they got to premiere this at something that the world was watching, which is kind of fascinating because it wouldn't have been an option a number of months ago. Anyways, they unleashed the teaser trailer for Mulan, which gave much more of a look than normal teasers do. And it looks fantastic. Visuals, not a stamp of quality like in the world of trailers, but it's kind of telling you it's not just a rehash in the type manner that we have been seeing with a lot of these. At least doesn't feel that way. No songs, no Mushu. I'm happy if that stays as it is, which I believe it is. I love that Mulan film. I don't need that Mulan film with live actors. I want a different film based on the story of Mulan. I want a large scope Mulan that is basically light Lawrence of Arabia.
Which this kind of looks like, because you got a lot of fight scenes with her. You got her doing bow and arrow. You got, like, the training scenes from the original, but you got a lot of her by herself with a sword, with her hair down. So I'm assuming she gets outed, and then we still see her adventures, like, on her own.
I'm starting to think she's not in hiding as long as maybe the original animated was, or not. We have no idea.
Also,
we
could
have been watching the last
20
minutes of that movie and that trailer, but we just don't know it out of context.
Well, this is also ideally going to be a longer movie than the animated, so even if they add on 20 minutes of her by herself.
Yes, four-part series that comes out every 3 months.
What are you talking about?
That's the plan. Eight-hour film. Whoa. Jimmy went into the
robot
Max
land.
Headroom area of the internet just there for a second. What was that, my friend?
No, nothing. I was just making fun of you. That's all.
Oh, okay. Very well.
We can review that. What did you guys think of the trailer?
Yes.
I was very impressed. I actually really enjoyed the scope and the wide shots we saw in the trailer. It's giving me hope that this is going to be more epic than less on stage kind of a production, and I'm very happy with what I'm seeing so far.
Yeah, it looked like a lot of big set pieces. Jimmy.
Yeah, I dug the trailer too. Like, I watched it literally right before we started recording this for the first time, and I dug it. Like, and I'm excited for that one.
Yeah, and that's coming out next year, so that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's what's one of their biggies for next year, along with Artemis Fowl, which, by the way, I'm still reading. I just re-picked it up today because I picked up my Kindle and I was like, oh, yeah, we were going to read this because it was coming out.
Yeah, it was supposed to come out next month and then they pushed it. So I was like, I can wait on the reading.
Put the book away when that happened.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did.
So Mulan's out. Looks great. Can't wait. We'll see if we learn a little bit more at D23. Maybe they put out a little more of a trailer, but that's only in a month and a half. I don't really know.
Yeah, that
might be held off just for a little while. I would think maybe a larger trailer will be attached to Star Wars because sort of the same reach crowd-wise. And you're going to reach the most amount of eyes by tapping it onto that film.
Do you think it would be attached to Star Wars or Frozen 2, which is only the month before?
Both. There's one for one and then one for the other. They're obviously going to, you know, try to get as many people aware of this one as possible because they did a big step today in doing that.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah. So, and yeah, I mean, and following, you know, obviously Rise of the Skywalker is going to be kind of popular.
A little bit.
Last Jedi was the highest grossing film of the year it came out, and then it was the highest grossing DVD of the next year, which it outsold Black Panther and Avengers Infinity War, which is kind of nuts.
Yeah.
Like, when you really think about that, that's kind of nuts. Because I would have thought it was Infinity War, but it is not.
I wonder if Endgame, and I'm assuming Endgame's going to oversell Infinity War in the at-home sales.
I guess. I don't know. It's a weird, I mean, they still sold. That's the thing. Those three movies sold a lot more than everyone else.
No, I know they still sold.
There was like
a lot,
those three movies and everyone else. And I think Black Panther only lost to Last Jedi by something around the area of like couple hundred thousand or something even less than that, like a cup 20,000-30,000. I forget what it was, but it just wasn't very much. Speaking of the Avengers, they have assembled again, but Jake Sully denies them via Forbes. This is quote direct from Forbes. In a quick update on Earth's Mightiest Heroes, the Avengers, Endgame earned $3.1 million in North America over the weekend, dropping a reasonable 48% from last week's heavily publicized reissue. That brings the film's domestic total to $847.9 million. That means, and oh my God, I can't believe this is a thing, it passed the adjusted for inflation totals of Return of the Jedi, which with adjustments is $847.4 million. How about that? To become only the 16th biggest domestic earner all time after inflation. People love the movies in the past. I don't know if those numbers will ever be touched. Especially Gone with the Wind and Wizard of Oz. Everyone and their mother saw that movie because they had nothing else to do.
Yeah.
If you remove the bigger three earners, Empire Strikes Back, 101 Dalmatians, and Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, that got past the $850 million in adjusted earnings, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, don't worry about that part. Anyways, So they're not going to capture it. It looks like they are about 15 million or so short. Yeah, 15.5 million away from Avatar's 2.788 billion global accumulation. So how about that? It's going to be Avatar still. Jimmy, how you feeling about that?
I mean, I didn't think the reissue was really going to get it there. So I've kind of resigned to the fact that Avatar was going to stay number one. God, the way it started, I really thought it was going to, like, it was going to get there. I thought it was going to pass The Force Awakens, and it just never did.
Adam, does Avatar ever lose?
I think Avatar can still lose, and I think Endgame could still beat it, but the problem was they didn't do enough to get people into the theaters. Just reissuing it with a couple unfinished deleted scenes after the credits wasn't going to do it. You know, you have to do what Avatar did. You have to put extra footage in. You have to make people want to see it. I'm diehard Endgame guy, and I had no interest in seeing this again before the Blu-ray/4K release. And it's just, they couldn't get me there. And I don't know what Disney or Marvel's aversion to director's cuts are, but it's just, you know, I think they missed a good opportunity.
True.
Jimmy?
Do you think the length of Endgame kind of plays a factor into them not getting there?
No, I don't because number three is Titanic, and that was a longer film. And Endgame was 2 hours and 50 minutes. I mean, we're not Avatar talking about a big difference here. Avatar was about 13 to 14,
whatever.
Avatar was about 13 to 14 minutes shorter than Endgame or something in that area.
I thought it was only like 2.5.
No, it's like 237 to 240. So, I mean, yeah, even if it's 20 minutes difference, it's not that. The 3D ticket sales probably have something to do with it because that was the big thing then at that time.
True.
But ticket sales have also just gone up since Avatar was originally put out.
Do they count that in the adjusted, or they just adjust for inflation?
They just adjust for inflation. Oh, they're not going to adjust by like type of ticket sold. Now, there is they do track total actual tickets sold. I don't have those numbers, but that is a trackable number that I think is more of an estimation, because what they basically do is they take the average price of a ticket. Mm-hmm. And, you know, order it. I remember I did a deep dive into Last Jedi or Star Wars, and they sold something like 15 million tickets. Mm. So, I mean, Last Jedi is number 12 all time on the list, and they sold 15 million tickets. Mm. So, and we're talking about, there's only five movies that have got over 2 billion. That's Infinity War, Force Awakens, Titanic, Endgame, Avatar. That's number 5 through number 1 in order. So it did topple Force Awakens, Jimmy. It actually did, domestically. Oh, well, yeah. And... actually, not domestically, but overseas market, it crushed it, because domestically, Force Awakens was $936 million because it was the first Star Wars film for 20-something years, and that's what the public wanted. Like, that's how that works. The first Star Wars movies always kill. When you adjust for inflation, Endgame is number 16, Gone with the Wind is number 1, Star Wars The Original is number 2, Sound of Music's number 3. E.T. is number 4. Like, Jaws is number 7. These movies, as much as they're making, in the picture of, like, how many people went to go see these movies, they're not that they don't stack up, but more people went to the movies in the past.
Yeah, because also you had, like, the only way to see a movie was to go to the movies. Like, we didn't have all these home releases, or they didn't come out as quickly.
Yeah, 4 months later.
Even having, like, Snow White and 101 Dalmatians on there. I mean, I saw Snow White in the theater when I was young because it was one of the many re-releases they did in theaters. So it's like, you know, and it wasn't a re-release, you know, a couple months later. It was years later. So. Yeah.
Actually, I'll give you the top 10. Top 10 adjusted, okay, is Snow White, Seven Dwarves, Exorcist, Dr. Zhivago, Jaws, Ten Commandments, Titanic, E.T., Sound of Music, Star Wars, Gone with the Wind. You want to know the other fascinating thing? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 of these movies, if released tomorrow, would not get people to go to the theater.
Nope.
Because they're the type of movies that don't make this kind of bank anymore, because people just want the familiar, the sequels, and the things that they already got. They don't want long story-driven dramas or character-driven dramas or musicals or anything like that. They don't want four-hour movies that are cut into two pieces. It's just a totally different world, and I don't think it's much better, actually. I think it's kind of worse. There's also lists like this where they're like top 10 movies where it's nothing but John Williams soundtracks. where like legitimately it just happens to be that 9 of the 10 films like before the year 2000 or something like that, they're all John Williams soundtracks.
Well, I feel like we got that way a little bit with Michael Giacchino. I feel like he's on like every film.
He's getting there. Yeah, he is starting to pop up more and more and more.
Every time I see credits, I'm like, oh, wait, I know him.
Yeah, but it's really fascinating. If you ever want to take a look at Box Office Mojo, then go to the all-time inflated adjustment numbers. It's really, really fascinating.
Which is also a good website to use if you play Fantasy Movie League, just FYI.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a good thing to do.
If you remember to pick movies.
But yeah, well, that's the other good thing to do. So yeah, Avengers. Avengers got snapped by Avatar. So there we go.
All right.
Movies.
Those are our movies. Speaking of Marvel movies, another one just came out. Spider-Man. Far From Home. Not sure I like the subtitle. I understand it. It's just like we had the first one with Homecoming. This is another home one. I don't know. My brain just stutters every time I try and say it.
The third one's going to probably have that word in it somewhere.
I would assume.
Yeah.
Yep.
Home.
Back home. I don't know.
Homeschooled.
Homeschooled. Yes. Homeroom. What?
No, I'm assuming the next one he goes to college.
Yeah, I was going to say it's probably a graduation flick.
I hope they move past it real quick.
No, it could be graduation because I'm assuming that... You know what? No. Look, we're talking about a movie. It came out. We're going to talk about some light spoilers.
Oh, yeah. No, I was going to get into all that.
My guess is that in the next film, he is starting up an internship at a local entertainment thing. News station.
Okay, so we'll just start from here.
Let's go all the way back. Let's start with the movie itself. We'll get to that.
So we'll do, you want to do non-spoilers first?
No, I think we can just talk about the film without really getting into too much initially. I have some negatives. I'd like to get them out of the way because I really like this movie, but there's some negatives that I just want to say and then move on from.
Okay.
What's wrong?
Nothing.
You have an issue with this?
I don't know if I want to let you go first.
All right, then don't.
I think I want to hear from our guests first.
Go right ahead. Ooh, almost knocked that over.
Don't do that. I want to just hear from everyone else. I've been listening to Pete for a while. So, so Jimmy,
we all.
Yeah, we saw it together. We saw it on Tuesday, very late. What did you think of the movie?
I loved it. I thought it was just good fun. It was just a good superhero action flick. How spoilerific are we getting here?
Let's just say we're going to go into it because by this time the movie's been out for a few days. It's almost been a week. If you haven't seen it, come back when you've seen it because I don't really want to hem and haw over things. Let's just go all into it.
And like
it.
Super quick, would anyone say don't go see this in the movies?
No.
No.
Okay.
No, definitely not.
So yeah,
go see it, come back, listen, go.
So I dug Jake Gyllenhaal a lot.
Yes.
I don't know, like, I mean, I think we all kind of knew where that character was going, but he still was so, I'm trying to think of the word.
Sexy.
Genuine.
Well, yeah, daddy. That beard.
On Twitter, I hear the word daddy a lot, which is kind of disturbing, actually, that's become such a thing. But anyways.
But like, I don't want to say commanding, but kind of like charming, where I was almost got, like, I knew where it was going, but I was kind of like, oh, he really does care about Peter.
He seemed, you know,
and then he kind of did his turn, but I just liked a lot of different things. There were a couple problems that I had with it, but I overall liked it a lot.
Adam, how about you?
I'm pretty much the same as Jimmy. I really enjoyed it. I don't think it's anywhere near Marvel's best at all. If we're going to talk about rankings later, I've already got mine with this film. But anyway, no, I enjoyed it. I thought Jake Gyllenhaal was awesome. My big complaint with him was he didn't even become Mysterio the back half of the movie. It was just all just him in a mocap suit. They were showing his mocap suit and he wasn't wearing it. It was like, oh, they had that whole scene where, you know, another part is like he's telling his fiendish plan in an overly long monologue, you know, but And then from that point on, he's not even pretending to be in the suit. He's just like wearing like half a helmet and just the mocap. And then everything else is just done by the drones. So I think that's just like my big issue with the villain. But I enjoyed the film a lot. It's I think Tom Holland is an excellent Spider-Man. Mm. I like the connectivity to the Marvel Universe. But yeah, I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Adam wants that vape helmet.
Yeah.
Vape, bro.
It was like when they once they broke that, they like completely tossed it aside. And I would have it would have been interesting to see him at least like maybe not in a mocap suit, maybe in something a little different. But yeah, it was a little weird to just completely lose that.
A more extended last sequence of Peter having to fight through the actual fake, the augmented reality.
Yeah.
Versus Mysterio, like, as an actual thing would have been welcomed.
But I feel like they did the extended sequence, like, it was that middle part where he, like, you know, fakes, Fury and...
Right, when Fury's with him and catch him up in the car. Yeah,
yeah, keep that in mind when I get
to my thing. Yeah, but yeah, like, that was, like, the big fight, and then the end fight was just, like, whatever. It was a drone fight more so. But I really do like how they didn't hold back on the Mysterio, like... not powers per se, but like they didn't hold back with like that, like, oh, we're really gonna mess with his mind here. And they even had like, you know, that zombie Iron Man thing that was really cool. I thought visually, like, they didn't hold back on any of that stuff. And I enjoyed that part of the Mysterio thing, because I think Mysterio overall is kind of an interesting villain. You know, he's much more cerebral, which I always think is a more interesting villain overall. So I thought that was kind of a cool, you know, way to fight. So I like that. All right. Do you want to get some of your stuff out and then we'll talk more about positives?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Go ahead. Well, so here's the things that didn't go very well with me. Tony created another monster, guys. It's been about 3 minutes since that happened in a Marvel film. The dude is dead. Can we not pin everything that happens wrong in this universe still on that man's chest? That's a weird thing. That was super weird. It also kind of makes it feel like, no, Tony actually didn't learn anything because his problems are still ruining the world.
Yeah.
Very, very strange. Flying monkey syndrome is probably my biggest complaint in the movie. We've seen this in a million different Marvel films. If you don't know what that reference is, it's that you don't actually fight the villain. You fight their flying monkeys. We've had this in Avengers, Age of Ultron, Guardians of the Galaxy. What else have we had it in? This now. We've just had it too many times, and it's not great. We need to move on from it. Also, the fact that the finale battle is kind of boring, where the middle section with Venice is much more exciting, and it shouldn't peak in the middle of the film. That's just wrong. Honestly, that's about it. Oh, stop taking off your idiotic mask every 3 seconds in public. This is just silliness at this point. They're on the bridge, right? At the end of the movie, him and MJ, the best part of the movie.
Yeah.
They're on the bridge. That was just the focus of all national coverage for, like, the nation and the world. And he just takes off his mask and has a relatively long conversation with his girlfriend. How does everyone not already know who this dude is? You don't need the post-credit sequence for people to find out that Peter Parker is Spider-Man. They should have figured it out by now, because everyone in this movie is taking their mask off every 3 seconds. At least one of them was digital, so it made a little more sense. But sweet Jesus, did you know it's Tom Holland in the role?
Yeah.
Because... just slow down with that. I know they're not going to, though. They pay for the face.
I was going to say, to be honest, they do a lot of movies with masked, you know, protagonists do this.
Yes, and it's dumb in all of them. Yeah,
it's like, very annoying.
It's stupid in all of them. We all know who it is. Does Batman just take his mask off during all the movies? No. Has that ever ruined you? Like, wait, is this still Christian Bale? We absolutely know it's still Christian Bale. And we absolutely knew it was George Clooney.
Yes.
Positives. Hey, isn't it cool to actually care about relationships? Who here is not interested in Peter Parker and MJ?
None of us raised our hands.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's awesome. Every moment with Zendaya on screen is an absolute highlight.
I loved
how... She was great. Like, I don't know what it was. Like, where she kind of had that quirky, but still kind of sassy, like, feel to her. I loved the way Zendaya played her.
Yeah, I agree. And I loved how, like, she was, like, smart enough to, like, figure it out. Like, she didn't have to, like...
Well, she's 66% figured it out.
Well, but she, like you said, like, there was a moment no, where was she fun, was, though, like...
The way she did that, that was great.
And know? She was, like, watching him when he, like, came back into the van or whatever. Like, she's, like, paying attention. And I feel like there's so many times where people just don't pay attention. And you could obviously figure out half the stuff if you just paid attention. Like, oh, you know, even with Superman. Oh, Superman and Clark Kent are never in the same room together. And then, like, you know, you could figure it out. Like,
But with Superman and Spider-Man, it's a thing of... The way that Clark is, the way he carries himself, the way he dresses himself.
Yeah, you would never say.
You would never assume that he is the straight-shouldered Superman. Like, yeah. That's the thing. It's not the glasses. It's everything else that the glasses are, you know, are covering up.
There was a great Lex Luthor line in one of the comic books or something where he's like, he was brought evidence that Clark Kent was Superman. He's like, no, he would never demean himself as a Clark Kent character.
All-Star Superman, I'm pretty sure. The Frank Quiet is All-Star Superman.
Yeah.
So in the scene actually that Melissa that you were referring to, when Peter stops the drone, you know, from killing the other student that he accidentally brings on the bus, if you watch when Peter lands back in the bus, now in hindsight they actually really didn't mean for her to be looking directly at him because she still wasn't sure, but if you watch, MJ's looking directly at him as he lands in that bus. Everyone else is looking out the window. She's looking at him.
I don't know. I think she was more than
she
sure.
She said herself 66%. Like, I'm not making up that number. She
I think
said
she
it.
Was underestimating herself, just like every other woman who's like, I think I'm sure, but like, they really know. Like, I think she really knew.
So as Jimmy was saying, I think Jake Gyllenhaal is phenomenal here. By the way, Jake Gyllenhaal is one of the best actors out in Hollywood. And he's just, there's a great little gif of him like waving and going into a tunnel. And the caption is just Jake Gyllenhaal going back to his indie movies after cashing his MCU check. If you haven't seen Nightcrawler, you should absolutely see Nightcrawler. He should have got nominated for that. Actually, he may have got nominated. It is nice to see another villain that is friends with Spider-Man. I don't think that he's acting like he likes Peter Parker. He genuinely really likes Peter Parker. But he gets in the way, and that's why that goes. So it was very close. It was the closest, I think, that we have gotten to the Doc Ock-Peter relationship that was so well done in Spider-Man 2 and extremely well done in the video game that came out just last year or earlier this year. I don't know. Yeah. Time is a circle.
I think that was around Christmas. So it's
right? Okay, yeah. So we're kind of reaching a year on that one. It was great seeing that. I think that helps a lot. And it's breezy. It's a good breezy game. Happy all the way is movie? Just, you know, great. What happened?
Movie? You what? Said game.
Oh. Yeah. Did I? Yes. I did. I said it's breezy. I meant to say breezy after the heaviness of Endgame. I apologize.
Oh, okay. I thought you were still referring to the Spider-Man video game, which
is
also
pretty
good. The
video game is quite breezy, too, if you don't worry about doing gold on all the side missions and smash your head through your television. Then the game, super breezy. Without that... Manic inducing. I really thought this was a great addition. I just wonder if I'll care about it in a year. It is one of those, like, it's very breezy. It's written by the people who wrote Ant-Man and the Wasp. See, like, all the jokes land. Like, it's a good thing like that. It's the same director as Homecoming, but I think this is better. I think Homecoming, the Michael Keaton thing, is the best thing of that and just getting this new world established. But I do think that there's a significant jump in replayability in this one.
Yeah. Well, the thing I liked with this one, I know we all talk about like the breeziness and the jokes, and we felt that way like after we were leaving, like, oh, it was a really good film, you know, especially coming after Endgame where there was so much heaviness and stuff weighing on us afterwards. But I did really enjoy the touches that they put throughout the movie. There's a scene in the school where, you know, Peter and Ned are talking, and like you see behind them all the drawings that all the students have done of Iron Man. And then even when they're over in Europe, you see like the mural on the side of the building of Iron Man with like the candles on the outside, you know, like as a nice little tribute to him. And I just thought that was like a really great kind of way to put in the movie how Peter feels throughout, like, throughout this entire movie, because you can tell, and he had a huge scene with Happy where Peter, you know, is letting everyone know, you know, he still feels Tony's, like, not shadow, but like his presence, and he wants to make sure he lives up to this thing that, you know, Tony saw in him, and how he would like to be what everything that Tony thought he could be. But it's a, you know, that's really heavy pressure for a 16-year-old kid. So, you know, it's this great dichotomy of Peter's internal struggles with having to be this superhero that initially he was just there for the neighborhood, then he became a superhero for the world, and now, you know, he's still wrestling with that, but I still want to, you know, hang out and care with my friends and joke around and maybe have a girlfriend kind of thing. So I thought that was really nice little ways of kind of just putting it in the movie that, you know, Tony's presence is still there and how much it does, you know, impact Peter.
Does anyone want to keep going with that, though? Do we need to have a big Tony shadow? Because you said the word shadow, and then you said not that. It actually is that. I think it is that. Do we need another Tony shadow film?
No. But I think this was like...
MoveOn.org from that?
I think this was like him coming to terms with, okay, well, now Tony's gone. So now, like... But then I think, like, at the end, when he was in the plane with Happy, I think he finally, like, figured it out and came into his own.
Well, the scene with Happy is actually my best scene in the film, personally. When Happy's stitching him up and Peter shows, again, in a breezy film, that being the key word for this, the one, like, big emotional, you know, scene is the stop telling me I'm okay. It's not like, you know, to calm down or whatever he says. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to calm down. This isn't what that situation, you know. That scene, I think, is the best, the biggest moment that Holland's had with the character, quite frankly. And I think he hits it really well. And I would like to see a little more stakes coming in here. And it looks like we're getting that. You know, Spider-Man famously is always like, you know, hero or menace. That's the Spider-Man thing. And he's been on Easy Street with the public for two films plus-ish, you know, if you include the Avengers movies. And all that's going to change now. And it feels a little more like Spider-Man.
Yeah, so let's talk about
just in relation to that, you know.
You want to talk about that? What was it? Mid credit?
Well, let's first. Yes. Yeah. Well, actually, I want to talk about Sam Jackson really quick.
Okay.
So this sort of like jumps ahead in the mid credits to the end credits thing.
But I actually think it was interesting, and I think this knowing this would really make a second viewing fascinating for me.
So on that note, while watching the movie, I thought, man, Sam Jackson's acting clueless. Like, there's things that he should be picking up on. I know that we know everything as the audience, and it's easy to think that, but there's things that he should be picking up on.
I even thought the same thing about Colby Smulders, whatever her character
Kobe.
Is. What's her name?
Colby Smulders.
No.
Colby Smulders.
Oh, Maria Hill.
Hill, that's it. Yeah. I even thought the way that Hill was acting was not the way that Hill...
Yeah,
he used to act, but I didn't know if like things were different.
And I was happy that that got paid off in the end.
Yeah,
Adam, what'd you have on your mind?
No, there's a. I don't know if you picked up on it afterwards, but there's an interesting line that Fury says during
exactly
the film.
What you're gonna say.
You know what I'm gonna say?
Okay, yeah, go ahead, say it.
All right, so when he's talking to Peter about why Mysterio's there, and that's when they're still banking on that whole multiverse theory, he says something about, you know, they need somebody on your Earth, and he says that to Peter.
Mm. Oh, no, you know what? I didn't pick up on that. There was another thing that was hidden in there that also is sort of a little hint.
Yeah, he's talking to Peter about Mysterio, why he's there. But then when he's talking to Peter, he says specifically to Peter, I forget the exact line, but something, your Earth.
Huh.
As in, like, he doesn't live there. And it's something I picked up on right away. And I'm like, okay.
See, mine was something that I wasn't sure that I heard it correctly. I actually thought I heard the wrong thing because there's a scene. It's a Fury in motion scene. And he's someone, I think Hill is like trying to give him a report. But he's on the phone with somebody else or on talking into a walkie-talkie. And I thought that he said, I didn't know we have Creed shadow groups. And I was like, Creed? I'm like, what, like... Creed, like, what's his name? Carnage? I'm like, what is that? He said Kree.
Yeah, Kree sleeper cells.
Yeah.
Kree sleeper cells. So that's, like, it's something that Fury absolutely would know. It's not something that would be a surprise to him. But for the character of Talos to be told that over the phone, it must have been like, wait, what? Man, you guys got a lot going on here, huh? So I thought that was another hint. But yeah, Adam, you picked up the real gem. That's great.
That's
yeah,
really
it didn't pay off, obviously, until the credits scene. But yeah.
I want to watch it again because I didn't even pick up that line. That's great.
Yeah, look at their first meeting. That's when the line happens.
All right, cool. Yeah, because I thought he was being very Nick Fury, like, when he's in the hotel room with Peter. But then, like, after that, he got to be... It was a little different. And then, like, you know, being very trusting of Mysterio and stuff was always, like, a... But yeah, we're doing this.
Didn't he watch a trailer?
Yeah.
Didn't he see Incredibles 2 and Incredibles and everything else that's done this?
We all know these things change. But yeah, I thought that was a great reveal that both Hill and Fury were Skrulls and...
Fury was on vacation.
Fury was in Tahiti now.
I just want to, you know, towards that whole thing... Will we get a Skrull invasion? Yeah, probably. Maybe at one point it will be, because there's another group of Skrulls that are not friendly, like our, you know, our the folks that we have met in Captain Marvel and whatnot. Just it'll probably happen, but I was just really happy that it didn't happen here, because I felt like that would have been a little too obvious of a jump into the next phase, and then everyone would have just been waiting for that to happen more and more. So I think it was good that they didn't pull the trigger on that if they plan to. Also, duh, they're not going to say there's a multiverse in the trailer, guys. Look, I know the trailers reveal a little bit too much, but that's
a little too...
That's a big one.
Yeah, that's universe-changing information. And to just have that casually tossed in. Now, if that wasn't in the trailer, and they said that in the movie, my head would have perked up saying, what was that? Like, I would have taken that idea a little more seriously. But because it was in the trailer, I had to put it aside. Jimmy.
Peter.
The mid-credit scene, that number one I want to say, doesn't need to be a mid-credit scene. It just was made a mid-credit scene because people expect mid-credit scenes. The movie could have just ended that way, and that's fine, too.
Yeah, I was actually thinking that. Like, it actually could have been a fun little kind of cliffhanger leading to the next one.
They just had to do it because then people would have been like, oh, what's the mid-credit scene? Like, but that's it. That's the story.
Yeah.
Oh, no, there has to be something in the middle, doesn't there?
No.
So
Endgame didn't have it.
Yeah, Endgame was the end game. Game! Anyways, Triple H. Jimmy, how did you react to the mid-credit scene?
I mean, I think I kind of looked at you as soon as, you know, J. Jonah Jameson popped on the screen, and I was like, J.K. Simmons! I just thought it was really neat. I was kind of, I'm not super familiar with, like, the comic book storylines and all of them. Like, I'm trying to get through some of the old stuff, like, you know, on Marvel Unlimited and whatnot. But, like, for, you know, J. Jonah Jameson and Mysterio, why am I drawing a blank on what his human name was?
Mysterio's?
Oh, Quentin Beck.
I knew his last name was four letters. I just couldn't remember what it was. But for them to reveal that it was Peter Parker, like, that kind of surprised me a little bit. But I think I was still just kind of nerding out a little bit that we had J.K. Simmons as J. Jonah Jameson again.
Well, you're also going to have the whole, well, that can't be him sort of thing. You know, even when people's identities are said public, there's always been a thing. But one of the biggest moments in Marvel Comics kind of history was when Peter Parker himself stepped up to the podium, and that was Civil War, right, Adam?
Yeah. That was when Tony got him to unmask to prove that, you know, that's, you know, about the, you know, Superhero Registration Act.
Yeah. So, I mean, he revealed himself in the universe. So this was their way of doing it here. But it's also coming from a Glenn Beck character. You have to remember that. Like, that's part of this, is that is going to be who J. Jonah Jameson is here.
Yeah, like, so instead of being, like, the big hothead on a newspaper, now he's... I think it kind of follows a little bit like the video game. Like, now he's, like, this
it's
person.
It's a little
on, like,
more in step with the video game, yeah.
Like, a news program, like, you know, a very loud...
Like, he kind of just runs, like, an info website kind of thing. Like...
Yeah.
Yeah, like an InfoWars-type website.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, so most people aren't going to take him seriously.
Yeah.
But people who are very dangerous will. And yeah, there's where your film comes in.
But that's the thing. They didn't do a full reveal. If you noticed, when Mysterio's doing his little video, they cut at Peter's neck.
Yeah.
You only hear a voice, and then J. Jonah only puts up a stock picture of Peter.
Yeah.
So that you didn't get the full commitment. So there's ways out of it.
Yeah. There's a million ways out of it. So I'm curious. I'm very, very excited to see how they handle that. And now the big thing will be, who is that person to step into that third film? Who is the enemy that makes his life difficult? And while I know the populist view might be, well, hey, it's Spider-Man. You gotta get to Green Goblin. I don't think you should. I think that that bell's been rung a couple of times.
Yeah.
Adam, you know what I want you to do?
Yeah.
I don't know how this time delay works. We're both gonna say the name of the villain that we would like to see in the third film on the count of three.
Okay.
All right.
I'll count.
Okay, you count. Melissa's gonna count.
You ready?
Yes, I'm gonna give it an extra second too because I'm assuming Skype sucks.
Okay.
Okay.
One. Two, three.
Spider Slayer.
Oh, okay. I'm all for Kraven. I want a man in a unitard, leopard print.
What did you say, Adam?
Spider Slayer. I think putting J. Jonah in there wasn't an accident. I think that's going to be the whole thing with him. They're not going to do Sinister Six. I think we can rule that out safely.
Also, they kind of did like the Waterman.
They introduced it in the post-credit scene in the last one.
That's the thing. We're kind of ignoring that one.
So we've got two of them now.
Well, that's the thing. From what I'm hearing, I don't know if this is pure rumor, that they're going to extend the contract beyond the three films. They will get to Sinister Six eventually, probably the sixth film. I mean, come on, it makes sense.
Mm.
But I think that we're going to see Spider Slayer or a variation, maybe Scorpion, because he's been kind of thrown in there.
Well, that would be the thing they hinted at in the first one. Yeah, it would be Scorpion.
Yeah, I think it's going to go that way. Because I know Sony was talking about doing a Kraven film at one point. So I don't know if that's going to work in a...
We need to talk less about what Sony said because everything is bad. And I think for our own sanity. You know, when does Venom come?
So we're going to play going down the Wikipedia rabbit hole. I went down a Wikipedia rabbit hole to conjecture about the next film as well. Because I was like, maybe they put...
Is that what we did? Did we Wikipedia rabbit hole? Is that a thing?
Yes.
Okay.
You've never done that?
No. I just had a guess at what I think it's going to go to next.
No, okay. Well. So, here's my whole path. First I was like, does Spider-Man go to college? I was like, I would assume he go to NYU. But then I looked it up and no, of course, he goes to a fictional one, Empire State University. And then I looked, of course, at who is also there with him. And then, of course, you get all the people who are there with him. But two interesting people who are there with him, in my opinion, is Johnny Storm and Emma Frost. And now that those characters are, at least one of them is under the MCU banner now.
Well, both of them are.
They both are? Yeah, so both, I was like, this would be really cool if he meets some cool classmates.
They can be if they want to be, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, he could meet some cool classmates. And then, you know, you have Osborn, and I think you have Von Doom in there, too. But I was like, it would be cool if he starts meeting some interesting classmates at ESU.
I can see the Johnny Storm thing. I wouldn't bring Emma Frost into it until you have a full Marvel's Mutants thing. And even then, I wouldn't involve her.
Yeah.
Because that's also letting that character show up in a Sony co-film. And I don't really know if they want to
do that.
Yeah, I'm not sure how those rules work.
But you had Nick Fury show up in this film.
Because
so it
brings people to the movie theater. Emma Frost doesn't.
But I'm saying, like, if she's just one of the classmates.
Said Emma Stone.
I know. If Emma Stone was Emma Frost, no. But I think, just to have, like, her as one of the classmates. Like, she doesn't have to be a star.
It makes more sense with Johnny Storm because they're so close. Like, they've been so close in the comics. That really adds up to me. But I don't know. Part of me thinks that we get a Fantastic Four film well before we get a Spider-Man 3.
You think?
I think a Fantastic Four film is going to happen before Spider-Man 3. I think Spider-Man 3 isn't until 2022.
I don't know.
That's too far off.
We'll see, guys.
I'm sure we'll find out in August.
Yeah.
You know, at D23 Expo again. I'm sure you're going to
get a Fantastic Four movie before you get another Spider-Man. But we'll see.
Well, then it'll be cool if he makes a cool appearance. Here's another wiki hole I went down. The voice of Edith I thought was really interesting.
Oh, and a massive lull to people who are like, it's going to totally be Tony Stark's voice.
No.
No, of course not. Talk about a shadow looming over a movie. Sweet baby Jesus.
Yeah. We got to let the grave cool a little bit.
Yeah, my God, people.
Can I just say how much I love that what the acronym of Edith stands for?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was very good.
It was so great.
It was so Tony. But she was voiced by Dawn Michelle King, and she's actually been the first assistant editor on many other Marvel films, including Homecoming, Ant-Man, Thor, The Dark World, Iron Man 2, and Iron Man. So she's been there since, like, the beginning. I thought that was really cool to, like, I don't know really what a first assistant editor, like, does, but I thought it was really cool to put her as kind of, like, the prominent thing when she's been there since the original Iron Man. That was kind of cool.
It's almost kind of like somebody was just walking by her office and heard her voice and being like, that's it.
You.
It's pretty and good. Yeah.
She got the role.
Get in here.
You've been here forever. Speak into this microphone now.
Also, you know what? Just really quick note on the other I want to just put in. I'm happy that they're making Flash Thompson. It seems like they're going to make Flash Thompson more of a thing than just dickhead bully, because that's what they become friends also.
But then he also becomes, in the comics anyway. Doesn't he also get... Venom, the symbiote.
Oh, no, get him.
Venom's been like in a million different people. I don't think they're gonna.
All over the place.
I don't think they're gonna go with the Venom route with anything with him. There's stories where they're just friends. He basically comes around and they get along. And I think that the movie was setting up you having a little more sympathy for his character.
Yeah.
With his mother not showing up, that wasn't just there. Because that serves no other purpose than for you to be like, oh, okay, this kid's not... He might have some reasons for being, like, so on his down.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? Let's see what they're going to do. He's a really talented actor to just sort of have sitting in the background. Mm. And I've always wondered if they have a bigger plan for him. You know, maybe Harry Osborn is not the thing... here.
Maybe
it's him. Who knows? We'll see. It's fun to think about it, but we'll find out.
We will find out. Anybody have any final thoughts they want to wrap up? Adam, anything you want to mention or say?
Do we want to give our rankings or?
Give your rankings 100%.
No, just for me personally, I did really enjoy it. I don't, as I mentioned before, I don't think it's the best Marvel film. I don't think it's the worst. It's not in that bottom pit. I put it somewhere right around Ant-Man and the Wasp, which I believe I have like 17th. So it's like out of 23 films, I put it kind of down that way.
Okay. Not too bad.
23 films.
Yeah.
In 19 years. Is that right? When did Iron Man hit?
2008.
It was 2008? Oh, God, you're right.
Yeah, because they just
sorry.
Had 10
That's
years
right.
of Marvel.
10 years. 23 films in 10 years.
That's crazy.
That's insane. And it's still making dough.
Once you get that Disney money.
I'm just curious from everybody. Like, I didn't stick at my rankings yet, but did everybody like it more than Homecoming?
Ooh.
I did, yeah.
I did too.
Michael Keaton, I think the Michael Keaton stuff was great, but I really didn't like the finale, the seizure-inducing finale that I couldn't tell what was going on. And I thought this expands on the good stuff of Homecoming. And I enjoyed it more.
Yeah, I enjoyed the relationships here more because they were already set. And I liked how we got to pull in more people. Like, we got, even though Aunt May wasn't in it a bunch, we got to see more of her. I liked how she was, like, accepting of Peter's whole, like, superhero identity and wasn't like, no, you can't do this. You're too young. Like, I really liked her character.
Yeah, I don't want to see that out of her or MJ because they have beaten that drum forever. And also, I don't, I think in this, the modern way that we are doing political stuff, hankering wife or woman in film is not going to go over well.
Yeah.
It's also just boring to watch.
It is. So
it's
I'm glad
so
they
boring.
Didn't do that
let
at
the,
all.
Let the problem be that he has support but can't win, you know, or something like that. Don't let it be the other stuff.
Yeah. So I just like the relationships more than Homecoming because I felt like we got more of them. But I don't know. They're both kind of equal for me.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed more aspects of this film than Homecoming, but I'm with Melissa. I think it's about on par. I think it's kind of a wash.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's like one of these films is 10 spots above the other.
No.
I'm putting it, like if I was to do a ranking, which I haven't done in a while, I would probably put it 3 or 4 bumps ahead. Like it's better than the Ant-Man films for me, both of them.
Mm.
It's definitely better than Iron Man 2. It's better for me than Homecoming. I'd have to rewatch Ant-Man 2 again. But like Ant-Man 2 and those are just
But Ant-Man's cool got Baba Yaga.
Yeah, that's one of the funniest jokes. Quite straight up, that is one of the funniest moments in the entire MCU is when she shows up, the guy screams Baba Yaga, and she disappears. I don't think I've laughed harder at any joke, including Ragnarok, than that moment because it was so well done. But it's still just a lot of things being shrunk.
Okay.
I liked it though. We'll have to do a Marvel ranking at some point. We should have done it after Endgame, maybe. Maybe we'll do it before
phase is over.
Four.
No, yeah. we actually wanted to wait because we wanted this phase to be completed.
Okay, good. So we should
why don't we do that next show?
Yeah, we should definitely figure out our timeline because now we have Lion King coming up in a couple weeks. Wow. But other than that, I think we're pretty much out of Disney releases until after Lion King, then it's October. We got Maleficent, so we have some time. Yeah,
that movie comes out in 3 months.
Yes, it does.
Madness.
Yeah,
absolute madness.
So yeah, so okay, yeah. In between Lion King and Maleficent 2, we'll do some Marvel rankings. That should be fun. We should get a couple people on for that. But all right, we'll do that. So, all right, guys, thank you for sticking around. Thank you for joining us, Adam and Jimmy. Let's do all your plugs. Adam, where can everybody hear you and see you?
Oh, you can find me over at YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter at MovieGuy365. And I just did a review of the Disney Movie Club exclusive 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea on Blu-ray. Definitely check that out.
That's good. I know that's Pete's favorite. And Jimmy, how about you? Where can people hear more of you?
Everybody can hear me and my good friend Frank Hart on the Dopey Dudes podcast, and check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/thedopeydudes.
You are Dopey Dudes.
I am.
Are you doing the Dopey Challenge this year?
I am not. It's kind of funny. Like, since we've started the Dopey Dudes, I have stopped running the Dopey Challenge. But Frank still does it, and I still do the 5K, 10K, and half marathon. So
that's too much running. Too much running.
Definitely too much running.
I just did my second 5K today for the Marvel virtual run. I did my Iron Man one, so woohoo. Got it out of the way early because I don't know how crazy July is going to be.
And then it was soup.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's gross out. We're all going to die.
On that note.
Actually, well, I want to plug a little something.
All right, you plug.
If you follow me on Instagram, Peter Tadone Photography, we have been doing, or I have been starting up the films and fitness kind of thing that I've been doing, where...
Did you hashtag that?
I actually started to, yeah.
You should go back and do that.
So basically what's going on is I am rowing for about 40 minutes every other night, every 2 out of 3 nights, as much as I can. And what I do is I watch a movie while doing it, and then I will take a bunch of screenshots that I feel are very eye-catching and or important, and usually I'll try to match them up so they have some kind of theme or visual matching quality, and just talk about those films. So I just went through the entire Star Wars saga, and I'm actually going to go through Guillermo del Toro's entire filmography next.
Whoa.
So yeah, Kronos is up next, or up first, I should say, and we're going to go from there. So yeah, join up me over there if you want to.
On Instagram. Cool.
Yeah.
You can find all that we do on Disney Magic Hour. We are Disney Magic Hour podcast on Instagram, Diz Magic Hour pod on Twitter. Disney Magic Hour is on Facebook. We have our nice group over there. Join us. Everything we do is on lashedpodcast.com. Head over there, see all of our stuff. And of course, you can find us on iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you have found us now. Also, make sure if you are planning a vacation, thinking about it, definitely need one, want one, head over to mei-travel.com, visit Becky and her team so they can get you started on your vacation, whichever magical adventure you decide to choose. What is coming up next? Well, I think we said we got The Lion King. We do want to eventually get back to our straight-up movie reviews, so that will be coming up hopefully in August. We're going to have some stuff going on in the beginning of August, possibly, so our schedule might get a little crazy, but I want to thank you guys for sticking with us. I know it's been really nuts kind of this year, just us figuring stuff out, but hopefully at the end of the summer, by the end of the summer, we'll have things all straightened up and figured out and be on a more of a consistent schedule. Yeah. And we'll get back to figuring better stuff out for the Patreon members. I know we've been slacking on that, so I apologize. I thank you for sticking with us, and we will definitely be getting back to stuff. And hopefully also with the summer ending, the weather will be nicer, and maybe I'll get out into the park some more and take some of you guys with me. I really wanted to do that, and just the weather this summer has been bad. Can't go after noon if I don't want everything to get wet, but hopefully if you're in the Patreon group on Facebook, I'll start doing more stuff in that group as, you know, the summer winds down and things become a little bit more normal, and we'll of course share with all of you what's been going on as well. So just wanted to give you guys a big thank you for supporting us and sticking with us through all of this topsy-turvy.
We are hoping to go back to a weekly format once everything calms down, because we had to do that for things that were going on at the time. And we're hoping that we're able to fix that going forward a little bit.
Yep. So,
yeah. After August 1st, which might be a very busy day for us.
Maybe August 7th.
Yeah, maybe the week after. We'll more on that another time.
Yes. So, all right. Thank you guys again for joining me. Thank you guys for listening. And we will see you soon at the movies.